May only the truth be spoken and only the truth be heard. In the name of God, world maker, pain bearer, life giver. Amen. Andrew Kuhl, our assistant curate, started with us on Tuesday. And as I said at the beginning of the service, I hope you will take the time to make him and Emily and Rebecca feel like this is home. Spending time with Andrew this week got me thinking about how my own ministry began. Particularly, just days before I started my curacy and donned my dog collar for the first time, I was vacationing in British Columbia to check out the sights. And pious bunny that I am, I decided on my last day to visit Christ Church Cathedral and attend the 1210 Eucharist. Now, at 12:05, as I was hurrying along to make the service, I noticed that there was a homeless man directly in my path. His baseball cap was sitting on the ground, and a rough-hewn, hastily written sign had been propped up against the streetlight where he was ensconced. I couldn't tell you what the sign said, because I didn't even read it. And that's because, as soon as I had distinguished him from the rest of the landscape, I started a well-rehearsed routine. First, my hand automatically went to my pocket to see if I had any change. And then, as I approached him, I pulled out the amount that I deftly culled from the recesses of my pocket, and in one fluid motion, without breaking my stride, I dropped the change into his hat. I then gave him a well-rehearsed, closed-lipped smile and glided into the cathedral as "thank you," and the rest of his sentence faded off in the distance. I had danced this urban ballet so many times that I didn't give much thought to that encounter as I took my place in the church. But then, as I was sitting there waiting for the Eucharist to begin, I started thinking about that man who was still out there on the street. I started thinking about whether or not I'd done the right thing. I'm sure you know the internal debate that sometimes rages around these hasty acts of random kindness. I mean, was I really helping him? Was my meager offering going to make a difference in his life? Or was he just going to end up one of Vancouver's overdose statistics? My reflections continued. I thought, if I really wanted to help him, I could have asked him what he wanted to eat, and we might even have gone and shared a meal together. But then I thought, if I had done that, I would have been late for the Eucharist. That was a sobering moment, that I didn't even think about taking the time to attend to this man because I didn't want to be late for church. What was even more sobering was realizing that I was reflecting on this incident solely in terms of my own moral response. I was just trying to figure out what was the right thing to do. In all of my musings, I had never thought of who this man was or what he might need. He was just another nameless, soon-to-be-forgotten face whose needs were neglected in favor of my mission to get to church on time and be with my own community. I've learned a lot since then, I hope, about what it really takes to care for those in need, how exhausting but rewarding it can be, how sometimes you just don't want to face another person's problems because they seem so overwhelming, and you yourself feel so overwhelmed sometimes. Sometimes you just want to ignore the need that meets you at the door, or throw it a quick fix and get past it, like I did that day. I like to imagine that's how Jesus felt in today's gospel. There he is, going about his business, having just ministered to the needs of his own community endlessly, and having just had a tussle with the Pharisees about hand washing of all things. When he meets an outsider and is asked to heal her daughter. And not only is she an outsider, she is a Gentile and a woman, someone that any self-respecting Jewish man would never have had any contact with. Like my homeless man, this woman would have been for Jesus one of the great unwashed, whom he would never have given even the time of day. And if we truly appreciate Jesus' humility as much as we embrace his divinity, we have to consider how he first answered her with some compassion. As far as Jesus was concerned, he was called to the children of Israel, and they were the ones to be fed first. There was so much need in his world, among his people, so much competing for the resources of this one man, that what else could he give? After all, didn't he have to take care of his own first? I'm sure we understand that sentiment in some ways, with our own precious and scarce resources. When is caring for others enough? When we can barely take care of ourselves or our own? Didn't Jesus have to draw the line somewhere? So he drew the line, and this courageous, audacious woman just stepped right over it. She said, "Sir, even the dogs eat the crumbs under their master's table." In other words, "Yes, I know that you were first sent to the house of Israel. I get it. Yes, I understand that Gentiles are not your first priority. But I also believe that there is more than enough to feed us all. If we are dogs, then at least let us have a dog's rations. And besides, I believe that you have more than enough to feed us with the crumbs that are left over from your table." I like to think that in those words, Jesus' own eyes and ears were opened. That in that moment, something changed for him. Through this Gentile woman's plea, Jesus learned that God's purpose for him was broader and more inclusive than even he had imagined. The line that was drawn between himself and the woman disappeared, and the limits that he had placed on his mission and on himself just vanished. So he said to her, "For saying that, you may go. The demon has left your daughter." And that exchange of words has abundant meaning for us, because we are the Gentiles who were once on the outside of the promise until that courageous woman challenged Jesus to open up his boundaries and let us in. Up until that moment, we were the outsiders too. And now look at us. We're the insiders, recipients of the blessings and the promises of God through Jesus Christ. And as it was with Jesus in today's gospel, we are called to broaden our boundaries and to minister to all who hunger for God's healing, to love more deeply. And I'm not just talking about the hungry and homeless who walk our streets and come to the common table. I'm talking about all of those people in our community who are hungering for a faith that they cannot find, who are looking for a sense of meaning and purpose and hope. I'm talking about all of those people who are seeking a place that spiritually they can call home, especially during this experience of pandemic. I believe that we are called to create a community where there are no lines to be drawn, where there is no such thing as insiders and outsiders, where all are invited to come to the table, not to be fed with just the crumbs, but with the full feast of God's love. Speaking of courageous women, in mid-August, we celebrated the Feast of Saint Mary. Many call her the Mother of the Faithful, remembering that it was she who said yes to God making God's home in our humanity. I think the woman in today's gospel is another kind of mother to the faithful. The mother of all those who, despite their doubts, still utter silent prayers, hoping that some loving and merciful power out there will hear them and respond. Maybe she is the mother of all those who dare to stand up to religious bigotry and demand a blessing from those who are loath to give it. Maybe she is the mother of those who confront us in our own prejudiced assumptions and challenge us to open our hearts. And maybe this woman, who isn't even named in the scriptures, is the mother of all the nameless souls whom the world ignores, neglects, and rejects. The same souls that we are called to embrace. There is this pious legend that when the angel Gabriel greeted Mary and announced God's purpose for her, all of heaven held its breath, waiting for her response. I believe that the world is holding its breath right now, at this moment, waiting for our response, waiting to see if we, the church, are the people of compassion and inclusiveness and abundance that we claim to be. Thank God for the voices that call us to be faithful to what God is calling us to be. Amen.